So we know that hypertension is a really important health issue. Approximately 20% of world adults have hypertension, and its prevalence dramatically increases in patients older than 6 years. And in many countries, more than half of population of this age have hypertension. So worldwide, more than 1 billion people have hypertension, and it contributes to more than 7.5 million deaths per year. So it's a really important issue, and even we have effective drugs and their combination, still we do not have effective treatment for all patients, and there are some cases, for example, as resistant hypertension, which shows that we need new drugs and new treatments. So this is why we need to look for new data, for new candidate molecules, and one of them could be melatonin. So why melatonin should be potentially anti-hypertensive drug? There are at least 3 lines of evidences. One is from experimental studies, which show that pinealectomy in rats results in hypertension, and this hypertension can be reversed by melatonin. Another line shows that spontaneously hypertensive rats, which are the best model for essential hypertension, show decreased blood pressure after melatonin treatment. As we can see, this decrease is only partial. It's not normalization of blood pressure, but still, this decrease can have important clinical impact, and the decrease is not as such as in classical AC inhibitors, but as you can see, is just substantial. Another line of evidences comes from human studies. There are more than 20 studies in which people were treated with melatonin, and in this meta-analysis, Grossman and Al put together all these studies and showed that as soon as natural compounds was used, the decrease was not significant, but if long-lasting formula were used, the treatment was successful. Even the numbers are again not very low, but are significant, so showing that there is some potential. And we show that melatonin, even in physiological concentration, so it's not just pharmacology, has some relationship with night blood pressure measures, because in non-depressed, in hypertensive patients, it doesn't have a typical decrease of blood pressure during the night. They have also decreased melatonin concentrations. So there are some indications, but still not clear how melatonin can influence. Some words about melatonin, probably you know that it has very typical circadian profile with very low levels during the day and high concentration during the dark, and staying in dark during the day cannot increase melatonin levels like in with growth hormone. It is because melatonin synthesis is driven by master circadian clock by suprachiasmatic nuclei with multisynaptic pathways. So coming to superior cervical ganglion and back to the pineal gland, so this period is gated just for programmed dark time. And there are numbers of fields for which melatonin can have positive action, including hypertension. Circadian rhythms are very clear in cardiovascular system, hemodynamic parameters, electrolyte excretion, and hormonal changes exhibit very clear circadian patterns. So this is another correlative evidence that it may have some correlation with melatonin profile, and the same also with disease incidence. So we can think about mechanism. Melatonin can affect blood pressure either indirectly via modulation of the circadian system or directly via peripheral way, especially vessels, and there are some indications that even central control of blood pressure can be affected by melatonin. So we will go through these possibilities. First is a circadian system. Maybe you know this feedback loop which generates circadian rhythms at the cell levels, at the molecular level. There are 10 canonic clock genes which exhibit this clear daily rhythms, but there are hundreds genes which exhibit daily pattern, and they are governed by clock genes, and many genes, many processes related to metabolism and blood pressure exhibit very clear daily rhythms. And what is interesting, that acrophase of this rhythm is different in the different organs. So it means that it's not just one pattern, but it's organ specific. And surprisingly, this circadian loop and this circadian clock are not present only in suprachiasmatic nuclei, as in the master clock, but also in peripheral organs, and like arteries, heart, and kidney. So it means that a central clock can influence circadian function of these peripheral organs, and output of these organs can contribute to pathological processes, which can be also directly driven via sympathetic system or humoral factors, and they result in pathology, which can result or can increase these negative effects on the clock, and even on peripheral clocks. And actually, we have shown that melatonin can influence peripheral clocks in the heart. There are several ways how melatonin acts. The most familiar and maybe important is via its receptors, MT1 and MT2, but also it can act as a direct antioxidant and scavenger of reactive oxygen species. So we looked at receptors in collaboration with this department of pathophysiology, which started by Theresia, and in this case it was this group of Bella. And surprisingly, we found melatonin receptors located not in aorta, not in muscularis, but in adventitia. So it was surprising a bit, and it suggests that in some vessels melatonin doesn't contribute directly to vasoconstriction or vasodilatation. There are not very many data, even these generalizations are very clear, but sometimes not well based. So we looked at different vessels and found that in mesenteric arteries, melatonin receptors, MT1 receptors, are localized in muscularis, but also very clearly in adventitia. So it means that sometimes we can have opposite effects of melatonin in different layers of the vessel. Surprisingly, we found very strong expression of MT1 receptors in not only in adventitia but also in peripheral in perivascular adipose tissue, and in these studies we proved presence also by real-time PCR. So sometimes data show only antibodies and only antigens. So it's more clear if it is given at two levels. So presence of melatonin in perivascular adipose tissue suggests new way how melatonin can influence vessels. Actually, nowadays, perivascular tissue starts to be very interesting because there are several ways how it can influence vessels. These are just several molecules which can transmit some positive or negative information from perivascular tissue. So it is not just surrounding, it is not just protective mechanical function. There are several classes of compounds which influence muscularis layer and can influence vasoconstriction or vasodilatation. Actually, vascular diseases result from this balance. And on one way is NO and adiponectin and hypothetical adipose tissue-derived relaxing factor. And on the other hand are cytokines and adipokines, which are released, adipokines from adipose tissue and cytokines from infiltrated macrophages. So it means that it's more and more attractive hypothesis that chronic inflammation or subclinical inflammation can go also from outside to inside the vessel, and melatonin can influence this or can modulate, even protect against this negative effect, for example, of cytokines. So this is an experiment performed under in vitro conditions where we looked with cytometry at production of oxidative stress induced by TNF-alpha, and we tried to treat HUVEC cells with different concentration of melatonin, and we see dose-dependent effect. And as a control, we use classical antioxidant N-acetylcysteine. We see that they are approximately at the same level, but more importantly, they have additive effects. So if we combine both compounds, the protective effect was more stronger, suggesting that there are different molecular pathways which protect again endothelial cells against reactive oxygen species. And also interestingly, N-acetylcysteine decreased also basal production of reactive oxygen species, melatonin doesn't. It means that it could be better agent, I can say, because doesn't eliminate signal function of reactive oxygen species, which can be seen under normal health conditions. In these next two slides, I will not go into the detail. These are measured by telemetry in other rats, and this system allow us not only to measure blood pressure and heart rate activity, but can enable us to calculate bioreflex sensitivity and heart rate variability. So these studies show that melatonin can influence or in some way not only at the peripheral levels but can influence output of the sympathetic system from the brain. And we looked at some centers and some nuclei which are involved in blood pressure control. So they're like lateral medulla or nucleus tractus solitarii. But surprisingly, we found the largest, the more apparent changes in area postrema. So these are in control rats and very clear shift in clock genes, suggesting disturbed rhythmic function of this center, contributing to blood pressure control. And it's important maybe to say in this context that area postrema has the highest concentration of melatonin receptors from all parts of the brain. So there is possibility that melatonin acting via MT1 receptor, either in master clock in SCN or in this lower brain structure, can influence blood pressure also in at the central level. So I will not finish with conclusions, because I don't think that we have conclusions. We are in the process, so we can summarize our results, what we have shown and published, that melatonin receptors are expressed differentially in blood vessels, but they are present in perivascular fat tissue, and this open new way how it can act. It can protect against vascular inflammation and may modulate activity of the sympathetic system also at the other level, in the central level. So I will finish with this, and would like to thank very much to Theresia to start this collaboration, which now continue very, very well, I think, with Professor Ellinger and with her students. And this collaboration resulted in nice studies and also helped our students to work with good techniques and extend and improve their start into the scientific career. So thank you very much, Theresa.